welcome. I don't know where you stand, but and if you're new to our church, but we have been doing this Anointing Sunday for I think every single year that we've been in existence. And there's a simple reason, obviously, right? Like the Bible speaks about anointing, but more than anything, we don't want to get involved in a process, in a year, in an endeavor if God's not in it. And we believe this so strongly that we want the same for you. And obviously, I stand with no apology in the statement that the hope of the world is the local church. And you make up that local church. It's not a comprised conglomerate of a leadership. It is you, okay? You are the believer. As far as most people are concerned, if you've posted once, just an artistic hand in worship, you know, People Church loves a good shadowy hand. It's got us, had us in a chokehold for 10 years. We've been all choked up with a shadowy hand. People know. And outside of people's criticisms and outside of people's critique and maybe even cynicism, they want God to be real. I mean, think of it. It is in everyone's best interest that he is real. I mean, it is an incredible claim that all humanity wants. And I'm going to put it to you this year that you might be the difference between God being real in what you might be calling a stepping stone season or a stopping or a just here for a minute. What if it is exactly where God's got you? Because God wants to do more than just be real to you. He wants to show how real he is through you. I want you for a minute to pretend, to imagine that all of God's plan is resting on your shoulders. God has just placed you perfectly, hoping to use you. And you might say as a retort straight away, well, Chris, you don't know me, and I don't even believe. Even better. What better than to use someone who didn't believe that God was real? What better to use someone that is quiet to be loud? What better to use someone that is stingy to be generous? In fact, I'll put it to you right now. Let's set the premise for our year, and let's just set the premise for our relationship with God, that he's pretty much going to do the thing that is most unlikely through you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here. Even though I didn't show up to school often, this guy, a pastor. In fact, my sister is working for a guy that used to be on one of my soccer teams. And I used to get a little heated on the soccer field. Just a little, every now and then. And apparently when he found out I got saved, he literally, at work, called his mom. He's like, "Mom, you would never believe what Chris Carmona does." I had another friend who said, like, he became my friend. And it was weird. No one had ever really tried to be my friend like this before. And I remember, you know, we became friends and whatever. I go to church for the first weekend ever, and I'm super impacted. I'm like, this thing is amazing. And, you know, I'm a little bit of a, like, if I think it's amazing, I'm telling everyone kind of person. So I'm coming back. I'm telling all my friends. He's like, "Oh, you ever invite someone to church?" And that's the response I get. I was like, okay, rude. He's like, "I literally became friends with you because I thought you would be the last person to ever get saved." I was like, surprise, okay? My point is this. I used to be so kind of introverted. I was quite shy, maybe not at home, maybe, but like I used to stand in crowds and tell jokes in front of friends and tell them in my head. Like I was so insecure / abundantly secure, you know? Because when you're insecure, you think the whole world's about you because you think everyone's looking and talking and laughing about you, you know? And here I am doing this. And I felt a slight title change for my message in this service. And I want to title it something a little different, and it's Come In From The Fields. Come In From The Fields. We're going to talk a little bit about a Bible hero, bit of a legend, David, King David. And King David, if you know anything about him, he's known for taking on Goliath and, you know, kills Goliath, and it's this incredible moment, and it's super brave and super bold, and he just doesn't stand for somebody standing against God and God's people. And he goes out and he makes these amazing claims, and he says stuff like, man, why am I afraid of this Philistine? Why am I afraid of this giant? If God was with me when there was a bear, like, he'll be with me against this guy. And if God was with me when there was, like, a lion and I grabbed that by the jaw, you know, I don't know if he's embellishing a bit, you know what I mean? I don't know if he's doing that guy thing, you know what I mean? Where, you know, I took this lion down. Lion maybe was a cub, I don't know. But the reality is he's making a claim. And we all know it to be true, and we know that it is a greater moment where he stands on a moment that seems like the pivotal moment of his destiny that was already prepped for him in what was looking like the back blocks and the denial of any kind of affirmation and value in his life. And it got me thinking, because I think that as Christians, if there was any competition to be made as to who has the most underutilized resource in the world, I think we would win. Do you know what I mean? Like, here we are. Apparently, we have the hope of the world. You know what I mean? We got Jesus. Apparently, he can do all things. You know what I mean? And anything we call upon his name, it's doable. And yet, here we are in the backlogs, in the fields. I want to speak a word this morning that is going to call you in. I want to call you in from staying in preparation, and I want to start calling you to purpose. I want to call you in because I think too many are disqualified because of your means of qualification. Qualification being like, are you eloquent enough? Are you good enough? Like, do you have what it takes to hold a crowd? And the truth is that God cares nothing for any of those things. And what I want to challenge every single one of us on today is that maybe it's time for you to take the place that God has already purposed for you. And maybe it's time for you to leave the comfort of the unknown, or better yet, not being known. And this applies to everybody. First timer in church, never been before. Friend told you you were going to, like, brunch and you're here. It's not a lie if you go to brunch afterwards. Don't hate me, hate them. Okay. But it still applies. If you've been out of church forever, whenever I say forever, what's the next logical line? Amen. 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 We still have our roots. Amen. We still have our roots. Yeah. Amen. You know we got our roots when Courtney does this. Okay? I love that. Sometimes when I'm preaching well and she does this, I don't know if she's angry or she's happy, but even if you are a collection of your worst day right now represented, I want to tell you that you still qualify. And there's some rules and some regulations that go with it, and we're going to talk through that. So if you will, my first title was, I can't even remember it right now because I got the new title, but it was right there. It's not just me. It's not just me. I thought of that title because I was kind of thinking about my goals this year and how I want to get, you know, I think I've had this on the list for a while to get pretty ripped. Still waiting. But I wanted to get fit again. I started thinking about playing soccer, and then having my dad in town and my little brother, and I was thinking about me and my older brother. We started playing soccer. And I had become a Christian at this point, right? So I'm in Bible college. And I don't know if you remember the first time you became a Christian, but you kind of think that everybody's just perfect, right? Like, if you didn't grow up around this, you just think, like, they speak to each other in Psalms, you know? Like, you know, I just thought, like, if you go to church, someone's going to be like, how art thou? And I was, goodeth. I don't know, you know? I didn't know. So I thought everything was really, really perfect. And so I joined this soccer team, and, me and my brother are there, and my older brother, this is the crazy part too. My older brother, this is the craziest part. For now, I am still the tallest in my family from that lineage. Cruz is taking the genes a little further. But for right now, this is the height of the Carmona family. I'd appreciate it if you didn't laugh, thank you. Okay? My dad's in town, okay? You might not see. No, kidding. So we're sitting there, and I'm in this soccer team, and my brother's there, but he's my older brother, and I'm the calmest of all my family, I would say. And so anyway, we get into this fight. I get into a fight. It wasn't really a fight. It was just I pushed a guy. pushed him. Just get off of me. Okay? And then out of nowhere, thank you for the yellow. How did, came with a yellow card. We got someone in the crowd with a yellow card. Wow. I was not expecting that. All the trauma flooding in. I've seen too many. So literally, I just push this guy, right? And I'm thinking, all I'm going to do is push him and then walk away. I didn't want to fight. It was just a, hey, just back off. I'm a Christian now, okay? And as I turn, as quick as I could turn, my brother comes flying through the air, just pushes this guy out. Next thing you know, we're surrounded by a soccer team. Now, our soccer team was Christian. Their soccer team wasn't. And me and my brother are only the newest additions to this Christian life. So we're ready, you know? We're like, let's go. And we look around. And you don't want to pick a fight with a non-Christian team with a Christian team. I look back and all the brothers are like, oh, look, that's part of God's creation and that's part of God's creation and we're not going to fight. And so now it's me and my brother against all these people. I remember just thinking this, is it really just us out here? I feel like that's us sometimes. How often as Christians, when you come to something like this on a Sunday or even just every Sunday, go back into Monday feeling like, is it just us out here? Is there anybody else holding it down? Is there anybody else taking the kingdom forward? Is there anyone in my workplace? And my thought to that is this, that we are looking in the wrong direction. We're going to read a passage of scripture right now, and what it's going to show us is that while we are looking for a crowd, God is looking for us to be an influence. And rather to look for more people like us, we got to look for more people to follow, more people to lead, more people to impact. And the reality is we are not alone. God is with us. Anointing Sunday is our moment to pause, stop, and remember that this year is a year dedicated to God. That whilst you might have done it many other ways, the feeling or the thought of, is it just us out here, ends today. Because God doesn't call you in from the field to send you back and never use you. God calls you in from places that he has been prepping you because there is places that he has purposed you. I need you to just put that down for the banner of your year, just something to remember, that the places that God has been prepping you are because there's places that God has purposed you. Let's go to 1 Samuel for me. We're going to jump down, miss a few different verses. If you want to read it all, read it in your own time, okay? Just, I can't read it all, okay? We don't have time. All right? Everyone say thank you. You're welcome. So the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. We jump down to verse 3, I believe. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. And then it goes down a little bit further and we pick it up again where now at this point, this is kind of going on. He's arrived. The people were a bit nervous because back in those days when a prophet arrived, particularly if he was carrying a cow, in Deuteronomy it would say that if there was sins, if there was judgment among the people and it had not been decided yet, a prophet would come. So everybody was scared, right? The whole town is like, they weren't like, oh, it's a prophet. They're like, oh, dang. We do something? So the first thing the elders say at the gate is, do you come in peace? I come in peace. So we skip down now to the point where he's starting to look for the one that God has pointed. But the funny thing is, what we're going to see in a second is that he's looking through human eyes. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance, for his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. For all of us that maybe think we're not enough, not fitting the resume that God might want to use, what we've got to understand is that God's not really interested in what you and I think is usable. Have you ever thought that there's more to glean from this verse than just the fact that, you know, God's correcting it? But Samuel is a prophet. He's the man of God. He's the man of the hour. You know what I mean? Like, if anybody is going to know who did it, it's Samuel. If anyone's going to know anything, Samuel. And yet Samuel gets it wrong. Like Samuel just gets rebuked in front of everybody. I wonder if this happened out loud or it was just more dignifying for Samuel when it happened in his voice, in his head. You know what I mean? Because he got shut down. Ugh, Samuel. Such a man. What does that say about us though? What does it say about you, seasoned Christian? What does it say you, leader on the front row, who have already made decisions for the things that God will and will not use you for because they're not my gifts, you know? I'm not a people person, you know? I don't know that leadership's my mandate. I don't like being at the front. But what if what you like and what God wants to use you for are not the same thing? What if you have disqualified yourself because you have already pre-qualified yourself? I'm qualified for these tasks because that's what people like me do. That's what people that can't speak in front of people do. And that's what people that are thinkers do. And that's what people that lack strategy do. And that's what people that have a past do. And that's what people that are in my season do. And that's what people that are my age do. And that's what people that come from where I come from do. The reality is that the moment you pre-qualify yourself, you also disqualify yourself. But in this, we get something going. We get a glimmer of hope. We get an audible. We get something that maybe this year as you planned it might not be as God plans it. What if he's got something for you that is a little different, a little contrary to your nature? Wouldn't that be good? Because like, do you ever notice that you know when someone's like, something's up with someone just because they act different? You know what I mean? Like you know when that person at work is about to quit or flip out. You ever been around someone at work that's about to quit or flip out? You ever seen that? You just know. It's like a ticking time bomb. You get a little scared because you don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? They come in, they're huffing. Like, I never seen you huff before, Bob. Bob's just out there like, just real sick and tired. Bob, you're kind of loud, Bob. We ain't never heard you speak. All of a sudden, you're like, something's up with Bob. You know what I mean? You're at the cooler with people. I think we should call in early today. We should quit because Bob's kind of acting strange. I was being like tapping his keyboard real hard. What makes us stand out is when we do something out of the ordinary. Ordinary isn't a measure, it's a theme. My hope today is that you would break your theme this year. You have a theme, we have a theme, there's themes for what the world thinks about Christians, themes of how Chicago is going to be with crime and all those things, but let's break our theme for a second, and the only way we do that is when we offer God our availability, because all of a sudden what we say is, God, I will not qualify or pre-qualify myself. God, what would you use me for? Brings me to point number one when it comes talking about anointing. The first thing we know about anointing is that the Bible uses it as one of four major theological themes of separation. God wants you separate. God wants you separate. And it's not the kind of separate that makes you like the weird person that doesn't talk to any of your friends because you got saved. You know what I mean? You're like, you walk in your apartment block, no one's ever seen you. You're kicking cats in the door, locking all the locks. You know what I mean? Like, you're just that person that no one talks to. No, not talking that. You could be separate. But the point of being separate is that you might be separate in your value, separate in your use, separate in what you pray, separate in what you chase, separate in what God is doing in your life. And the best way for separate to feel separate is for separate to be mixed amongst the crowd. Now, I'm not telling you to isolate. What I'm saying is you need to section off the portion of your life and say, God, the first thing about anointing is it runs on availability. First portion of scripture we see, hey, Samuel, I need you to go because you got to stop grieving the loss of Saul. Samuel was still upset that the prototypical king didn't work out. How many of us are hoping for life change and for someone to step up? How many of us are mourning that our grow group leader maybe moved to another city? Or how many of us are looking back at the person that we once saw as a great speaker, preacher, business owner, influencer, and maybe we're mourning something that God is not even wanting to move on anymore? Maybe God is wanting to move on you. It's natural for us to mourn prototypical because it doesn't appeal to us as humans. We want what looks right, what looks good. God wants what is right, what is good. David meets new markers. What if you would meet those markers? What if you don't have to be awesome? You just got to be willing. What if you don't have to just be willing? You've got to be someone that cares about the deeper constructs of your character, of your thinking. Just say your yes be yes this year. What might that do? Like, why don't you just display grace instead of use it all up and then not give it to anybody like quite often Christians do? What would it look like if you just chose to separate yourself this year? I know that every other year you've jumped on the bandwagon of everything else you've ever done, but this year, just this year, would you section off you? All of you. God, I will make myself available. I promise you this, that is the first thing we see, and that's what we pick up right here, that God has already selected someone. So then we go down a little further. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, for all the pregnant women here, that's a good name for anyone. Good old Abinadab. And had him pass in front of Samuel, but Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. They would come with a horn. I don't have a horn. I got this architecturally thing. It's just a vase or vase, depending on your schooling. He had an anointing. What I love about this is there was a specific anointing. There was one that he carried. He wasn't flippant with it. He didn't give it to everybody. There was one. There was one anointing and one anointed. What I think is interesting is that when you're looking for a king, you're looking for at least a man. Man of age. You know what I mean? Like, how do we end up with a boy? What does that tell us about anointing? It tells us that there are 2 other main theological themes that we see. One of them being that anointing was a sign of leadership when they took the horn and they poured it over David's head, or they poured it over Saul's head. It signified, today you are something different. You've had a station change. The funny thing was, he still went back to where he came from. Meaning that leadership doesn't mean that you change where you stand, it changes how you walk. Leadership doesn't change what you do, it changes how you do it. Fun fact is that shepherds were always associated with leadership in the Bible. It's funny how looking after the things that God cares about actually puts you in charge of the things that God cares about. Maybe there needs to be a status change for you. You might not get the title at work, but you need to get it here. In 2024, you need to allow God to pour over his anointing. Why? Because his anointing is a status change. And I'm speaking to men in this place. Men, the battle will be lost if you and I don't stand up. Men, the battle will be lost if we don't know how to find ourselves on our knees in prayer, seeking God. I'll tell you what. The greatest fear I have found is not the fear of being able to fight another man. The greatest fear is to step up to the position of leadership that God has put as the mark of a man. The greatest fear for every man is to fail and to be seen not enough. The fear of every man is to step up and have to lead alone. There is something about the mantle of leadership that God has placed on men that if you and I say yes, there's a status change. There's a status change in the home. There's a status change in the prayer life of the home. There's a status change in the workplace. There's a status change in the college. You don't need to follow more people. You need to be a leader people can follow. Anointing Sunday is about accepting that mantle of leadership. Women in this place, Christians in this place, we want to declare that this year we will lead because we're leading anyway. The false narrative is that leadership is something you say yes to. The reality is leadership is something you're born with. The sphere of leadership is up to you. The sphere of leadership is up to your faithfulness. But the sphere of leadership is actually just that. You were born a leader. You're leading you. You're leading people. You're leading people that are watching you. You're leading people today with social media. You're leading people that are watching you and haven't even told you they're watching you. One day we will give an account for that leadership. So let's use it with purpose instead of letting it exist by default. Anointing. We're going from ordinary to leader. And third and last thing that I want to bring today for the sake of time is anointing actually is a sign of God's enablement. It says that from that day on, the presence of God fell heavily on David. Meaning that when David went on from that day forward, it was like, man, you could not help. It was undeniable that there was something different about David. David was doing stuff and you could see God all over it. When David did things, it just worked. When David led, it worked. When David fought, he won. There was something about it. But let's not forget that he was a boy. Let's not forget he was not yet a man. Let's not forget that God will anoint you before you've even grown into the station that he's anointed you for. Why am I speaking that? Because I've been a pastor long enough, and specifically in America, there's a nuanced difference in America than there is in Australia. In America, it's an education system, right? Everything's about, did you go to school? All I remember from every movie I ever watched growing up from Australia, we don't make good movies. We make good music. We make terrible movies. We're bad actors. We're getting better, but we're on a journey as Australians. And what I remember is every movie basically asked, where'd you get your degree? Everything was about a degree. And where are you going to college? Do you have dental? And does it come with healthcare? We just get healthcare. We get dental. And obviously schooling, I don't know much about it. But what I've found is I'll sit in a deep and meaningful, off the back of a great year, off a great month, off a great preaching series, off a miracle that God has done. And I'll sit with someone and I'll say in this room, all right, man, I just feel like God has made you to run. Like, this is the year. You know what everyone says to me? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. But when someone gives you more than one yeah, you coming tonight? Yeah, 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 yeah. You're not coming. You ain't coming. More than one yes, you're a liar. So I'll be like, hey, like, are you going to do this? Yeah, 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 yeah. Then they'd often say something like, yeah, I got to get ready first. Like, I've got to study more. I've got to get ready. I think I've got to do a few years. I've got to get this report. I've got to get this and that. And look, I'm all about preparation. We need it. But when you confuse pieces of paper for spiritual qualifications, all of a sudden what happens is this. We get a lot of people that never come in from the back blocks, never come in from the back area with the sheep. They just don't come in. David came in. David walked in, and I know this is something we'll never fully know, but I just wonder how many of us would have walked in if called. How many of us would have looked at Eliab just like Samuel looked at Eliab? How many of us would have said, not me, not yet, not ready, not this year? I'm asking that if this is to be a year where God shows up and he's God, then you've got to understand one simple premise about God. Give him the space. Let him do what he's going to do. Let him give him the space. Give him the space to reclaim your relationships. Give him the space to do something with your company. Give him the space to do something with your heartache. Give him the space to do something with your even. He's so gracious, he could even do something with your lack of belief. But you got to give him space. We're getting anointed today and we're praying because we're believing for God's supernatural marking, leadership over our life, and enablement. That this year, you're going to have the ability to say no to things you never could. That this year, you're going to be able to say yes to things you never could. That this year you're going to speak up at volumes you never did. That this year you're going to run at paces you never did. That this year you're going to forgive things you never could. This year you're going to belong places you never should. Like this year, you're going to stop saying, I'm too old for this church. This year, you're going to stop saying, I'm too busy for this church. The reality is priorities are not a matter of a calendar. Calendars are shaped by priorities. And when you put God first, I promise you, everything will fall into shape. Because God promotes. Now, I want to just finish by saying one simple thing. This isn't the only way to get ahead. You get ahead, you get promoted, you get rich, you get married, you do all the things. I just have known that all the things without God being the birthright, the creator, the shaper, the steward, the releaser of those things are usually things taken outside of season. And at the very least, they'll never fulfill you. I'm telling you that what you're going to do is what the Bible says, the difference between building on sand and building on rock. You can build it quickly and quite often lose it in the same manner. But what I'm challenging our church to this year, what I'm challenging because I think Chicago needs it, what I'm challenging because I think your workplace needs it, I think your family needs it, I think they've been waiting for you to come in from the field, I think they've been waiting for you to take your place under the flow of oil, I think they've been waiting for you to step up to a title that God has already positioned you for. Man, I think the world has been waiting for men of faith to stand up bold and use their Instagram and their Friday nights differently. The only way for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. The only way for the church to lose is for holy people to do nothing. It's time you come in from the field. This is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask all of our grow group leaders to come down the front. And then if you would all just stand to your feet, we're going to use the remainder of this service to step out from the field, if you will. I know it's not a field. I know it's your seat. But I know that it's also a very real sign to God that you are willing to leave comfortable places to live meaningful existences. To include Him at every step, for Him to move you in the directions that He's got for you. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray for you if you feel comfortable. If not, you sit there in your seat. That's fine. I mean, we will be here every other Sunday this year, Wednesdays, all sorts of things. This is maybe your first Sunday, not your only. But if this message spoke to you and you know that this is your year where you're coming in from the field and leadership and separation and enablement as per God's direction is your portion, then I want you to come down. The team is going to worship and these guys are going to pray for you. Go back and then we'll keep praying for anybody that comes down. I'll pray for you. But I'm believing this, that this is a year marked by God where God uses us in extraordinary ways. Can I get an amen? Come on, can I get an amen? All right, come on team, will you lead us in worship? Why don't you come down if you want to be prayed for, if you want us to anoint you, come on down. We're going to pray for you, each and every one of you. As people make their way back to their seats, I want to just finish up one thought for you. I'll utilize this moment to do it. You know that the moment that somebody was anointed, they were kept to account. David was kept to account. Saul was kept to account. The anointing came with a responsibility. What I want to encourage you is this. I obviously said that, hey, we get anointed even though we have not grown into our appointment yet. David was anointed a boy, but appointed a man. But that doesn't change that you and I get to keep and hold account for the things that God has anointed us for. Now, that doesn't mean you don't fall short. It doesn't mean you don't fail. But what it does mean is this. The great gift of holding a standard is it's an anchor. Don't anchor yourself to your worst day. Don't anchor yourself to the 7 times you failed. Don't anchor yourself to the 8 times you didn't grow through it. Don't anchor yourself to the cycle. Anchor yourself to the goal. Anchor yourself to the fact that you have been anointed and you will be appointed and that God's got favor over your life. Anchor yourself to that. I got to tell you right now, Auds and I, we don't wake up every morning like just holy, doing it all right. We don't, like, that's not how it goes. The difference is this. We're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. And I think it's about kind of that point that I would make as we close. We do this thing at People Church. We genuinely believe what we preach. Like, we genuinely believe that Jesus is the hope of humanity. And what we do is we make an opportunity for people to say yes to Jesus. But before you do that, I need you to know what you're saying yes to. In this sense, at least. We often think that salvation is either a kind of like miracle, get rich, get healed, quick thing. Look, there are some things that when you say yes to Jesus, they happen instantly. And there are other things that are a process. And there's a reason for that. We think that the measure of God being real is how quick He cleans up what we don't want to deal with. But the reality is that some things God heals and some things need process. The reason they need process is because God will often work through process the things that you will lead people through yourself. I'm thankful that when I suffered from mental illness, that it wasn't something that I didn't have to ever walk through. I'm glad I walked through it. I'm glad I got healed from it. I'm glad that I can offer hope to people. I'm glad that we went through our miscarriages. It was horrible and it was desperate times, but man, the fact that I can speak from it. Being a Christian isn't the avoidance of storms. It's the guarantee that after every storm, there's a message. After every storm, there's a hope. After every storm, there's a rock. And lastly, I just feel led to kind of put out there. A lot of people will say, well, why am I going to say yes to a God I can't see? Don't pretend you don't live with the unseen all the time. It's like, come on. You can't see your depression, but it's done a pretty good job of keeping you out of the workplace. You can't see your loneliness. You can't see your addiction. You can't see your fear. You can't see all your pain that you went through when you grew up. And I use that as a measure to kind of just wake us up for a second and help us understand that the unseen God deals in the unseen world. That those places that you don't know how to get free from, He will come and bring freedom to. You might not see your depression, but you feel it. Well, you might not see God, but when you say yes to God, you will feel it. You will feel the weightlessness. You will feel the salvation. You will feel the breakthrough. You will feel the shift. And I want to tell you this, that I am living proof. I've done it my way and I've done it His way. And when you stack up the 20 years with Him with the 20 years without Him, I guarantee you every single time they preach louder. So I'm not giving you everything's going to be better overnight. I'm giving you it will get better. I'm giving you there is a Savior. I'm giving you that no matter how good life is, we have a God-shaped gap and only He can fill it. I'm giving you, this is real people living out real life, but we know that there's a God that is responsible for greater things. And if you're sitting there saying, Chris, that's me. I am sick of being held back by the unseen. Chris, that's me. I want to feel set apart. I need that enablement. I want to live the life that you're speaking about. I have no trouble believing in the Jesus you've preached about. If that's you in this place, you're not here by coincidence. You're here by appointment. Even if you just walked in off the street, God knew you were coming in and you knew the words you needed to hear. So this is what we're going to do. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to bring you down the front. But what I'm going to do is what we do every week. I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, hands are going to go up all over this auditorium. People are going to say yes to Jesus. I'll see that hand. You'll put it straight back down. And that will mark the beginning of the rest of your life. That is the beginning of hope. Every doctor's report you ever get, you don't stand there alone anymore. You go to God to get you through what you're going through. You got a community of people that are doing the same thing. So if that's you in this room, you're saying, Chris, that's me. I feel it in my heart. My heart's beating. It's racing. I know that God's got something for me. Then on the count of three, like hundreds of people will do throughout the months, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three, go. All over this room. Thank you, 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 thank you. Is there anybody else all over this room? Raise them high. I want to know who I'm praying for quickly. Raise it, put it back down. Awesome. People saying yes to Jesus all over this room. Come on, come on. I'm just going to wait a few more moments. I feel like there's a couple more. If that's you, raise them high. I'll see them and you can put them down again. Come on. Awesome. Can we give God a shout of praise? Thank you. I see that hand. All right, this is what we're going to do. Every relationship that we've ever been in, we know starts with a verbal confirmation. You know what I mean? We're all like, it's official. There's a reason to it. No relationship is established without words. Words are more powerful than we know. That's why we go to therapy over words. And so what we're going to do now is speak the most powerful words you've ever spoken. They're going to give the devil his marching orders and they're going to give God his invitation into the core of who you are. It's the beginning of salvation and breakthrough. So all over this place. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. If you, in your heart, believe this prayer, even if you didn't raise your hand, but you wish you did, just repeat it after me. Now, everyone's going to pray with you because that's a people church thing. We don't leave people standing alone. Amen? Amen. All right. So all over this place, if you raise your hand, even if you didn't and you wish you did, just repeat after me. Are you ready? Come on. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I thank you. You forgive me of all my sin. I have a hope, a future, and a destiny through a relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise. Amen.